You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Hey, well, you've joined us on an amazing Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas. Come on, we're on the three-day countdown. It's exciting. And I really think it is really the most wonderful time of the year. Is it not, church? I need to actually be very careful not to break into some song today. I offered to the creative department already, and they declined, so they've missed out already. We'll see for next year. But we're talking all about expectation today. We are looking at Christmas specials. We have looked in this series at Christmas number ones, the things that make Christmas epic. We've looked at films, we've looked at food, my personal highlight, and we've also looked at presents. But today we're looking at the Christmas series. But if you're anything like me, you love a Christmas special. There's always that expectation of wondering, what's gonna happen? And I think we've experienced this in life as well. We always have expectation for things. And what expectation is hope. We either have high expectations or low expectations. We're either hopeful in someone or something, or hopeless in someone or something. I remember the first time I went to go and vote. And for some reason, I had these really high expectations. I don't know where I got it from, but I thought I was going to Parliament. I thought I'd go. I'd get my invitation, I'd go down, walking in, and then like people dressed in black suits with Matrix glasses on. And then I'd show them my identification, they'd say, come on in, Mr. Garrett. And I'd nod to them, so they knew I wasn't messing around. And then I'd walk in and there'd be my own station, Mr. Garrett Daniel, polling here. And I'd walk in, it'd be like this really nice white room, and then I'd do like a touch ID, and the door would open and say, hello, sir. Welcome. And I'd walk in and I'd place my vote. So I was really excited. And then I put my local polling station in onto Google Maps, because we know Google Maps is superior, right, church? Apple Maps will take you to the nearest county of where you need to be. But Google Maps to the door never failed me. But I put in Google Maps and it says it's only a 2-minute journey. And I'm thinking, London's a lot closer than I realised. I get in my car, and if you don't know, I drive now a Vauxhall Sephira. Oh yeah. I've actually bought the car off my mum and dad that I used to get dropped to school in. And I'm in the front seat like, yeah, I understand it now. And I'm driving, and the Sephira is a good car, let me tell you. But there are some stereotypes. The youth team will know I get called the mum driver, the mummobile. And it's notorious as a bit of a mum car. But it's got 7 seats. So as I'm driving down my road into a street, as it takes me right, into a country lane, into a trail, and I've got my 7-seater. And it is difficult. It is good 7 seats, but it's a nightmare to park. And also, it's hard to shop. When I go shopping, church, honestly, when I go shopping in my Vauxhall Sephira, the glares I get from other mums thinking I'm a rival mother coming into the town centre. Honestly, I walk to town now. It's too scary. I had no idea there was such rivalry in the community. But apart from that, the car's great. So anyway, I'm struggling to try and park it, and I'll hold my hands up. I just leave it in the middle of the road. But I thought, they won't mind, it'll be all right. So I get out of my car and I'm still quite excited. I'm thinking, any minute now, I'll go around the corner. Big Parliament building. Any minute now. And then I see a lamppost with like a wet piece of paper on saying like, polling with 3 L's this way. I'm like, what? And it points to this bungalow. And I'm like, surely not. So anyway, I'm a bit nervous, like, it can't be the right place. So I'm like creeping over. And honestly, it felt like I was at my nan's house. Like, I almost took my shoes off, put the kettle on, And to be fair, I probably should have, because there was an older couple in there with the kettle on and their shoes off. And I'm like, sorry, I'm sorry, I thought this was the polling station. Then, yeah, it is, love, come on in. It's just by the TV in the corner. I'm like, what? So I literally write it on a piece of paper, put my name, and I'm done, 10 seconds. I'm like, that can't be it. So I'm looking around for like a secret door, MI5 agent in the corner, or just something. But anyway, I see there's two older guys counting, but they're using a system I've not seen before. It's like a tally chart, but instead of four vertical lines and a diagonal across, they've got three vertical lines and a diagonal across. Maybe it's called like a Natalie table, or maybe I missed an update, but I was a bit concerned because they were both counting in different ways. So I was a bit concerned about the accuracy of the readings. Anyway, it turns out 129% of my local area turned out to vote. So they must have been doing all right. But I had high expectations, and they were brought right down. And now when I go, my expectations are low, because I understand the experience. Because understanding affects our experience. If you've watched a film and it is rubbish, and someone comes to you and says, would you like to watch the sequel? You'll either say no, or you'll go having this low expectation because you understand the first one was rubbish. Equally, on the other side, if the first film was great, you have a high expectation because you understand that the franchise is brilliant and you're really excited to go and watch the film. Understanding affects expectation. Just recently, for my birthday, me, my brother, and my dad, we went to watch Gladiator 2. Oh, and me and my dad, we were excited because we understood the first one. We knew that it was a good film. So we get in the car, and it's about half an hour drive, and my dad asked my brother, are you excited? And he says, well, Dad, I've actually not seen it before. My dad turns pale. We almost have to pull over and open a window. But what my dad does, my dad says, in short, Sam, as we're driving, I'll tell you about Gladiator. 25 minutes later, he has gone scene by scene, detail by detail. I think if he went any longer, he would have been reported for copyright infringement. He was going into immense detail because he understood how good the film was. And as he talked, I got excited because it increased my expectations. Understanding affects expectation. We all have expectations, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, we're all expecting something this Christmas. Maybe you're expecting to have an amazing meal. Maybe you're expecting to really enjoy that family gathering you've got coming up, because you've got an understanding that, oh, last year it was great. Or maybe you're on the other side and you're expecting the worst. Maybe you're expecting for it to be a time of stress and worry. You might be expecting it to be a time of maybe feeling a bit lonely. And what this causes, it causes us, if we're not careful, to live without hope. We start to live hopeless with no expectation. And if we're not careful, we can start to let this go into other areas of our lives. But church, I want to encourage you today that no matter what situation, no matter what's going on this Christmas, that it's time to expect again. Turn to the person next to you and say, expect again. We read here, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, I know this is short, but just a bit of context, Jesus has just sailed across to an island, and in that island from Galilee, he's sailed, and he's driven out demons, and they've gone into the pigs, and on his way back sailing, he has calmed a storm. So that's where we're picking up from. So when Jesus returns on his boat to Galilee, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. They were all expecting him. This phrase occurs in the Gospel of Luke alone over 30 times. So often it talks about a crowd expecting Jesus. And it starts to beg the question, but what were they expecting? Why were they expecting? And if we go a couple chapters back to Luke chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, we start to understand this. It says, he went down with them and stood on a level place. This is Jesus. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, Jerusalem, from Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him to be healed of their diseases, those troubled by spirits to be cured, and they tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. The people had an expectation of Jesus because they understood who he was. Some of them might not have understood him as the Messiah or as the Son of God, but they knew that that man, Jesus, he could heal, he could restore, and he could set people free. Church, for us to expect again, for us to get hope again, for us to have faith again, we have got to understand Jesus. We've got to understand who Jesus is. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, the Christmas prophecy says this. You'll all be familiar with it. Many of you will be. It says, for a child has been born for us, the gift of a son. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and his ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits, no limits to the wholeness he brings. Church, when we understand Jesus and what it describes here, we understand that there are no limits to what he can bring. Our expectation starts to become limitless. We start to have faith that says, when this is going on, no, I know Jesus. Because church, when we understand that Jesus in 1 Timothy chapter 6 says that he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, when we learn that he is the Alpha and the Omega, he is the beginning and the end, when we understand the authority, Matthew 28 verse 19, all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto him. When we understand the authority he has in life and death, Acts 2 says, I love this, because it was impossible for the death and the grave to keep a hold on him. He breaks every chain. He breaks every addiction because Jesus, with one word, makes demons tremble, moves mountains, and calms seas. Church, we need to understand Jesus. When we understand his authority, we start to realize that in our lives, he is greater than everything, and we start to walk with confidence, knowing that we have an expectation that he is greater than all things because of the authority that's given to him. When we understand that he is a miracle-working God, that in John 2, he turned water into wine, when in John 9, he made the blind see, when in John 11, a man who'd been dead for 4 days, Jesus came in and said, get up, Lazarus. When we understand Jesus, we start to see our illnesses and say, no, because I know Jesus and I have an expectation that illness can go. We start to expect to see miracles, to see things break, when we get an expectation of who Jesus Christ is. Church, it is time to expect again. When we understand the love of Jesus, when we understand that he came to die, not just for me, but for you, when we understand the width of his grace, the depth of his mercy, we start to feel that love and start to live in it. Hebrews 8:12 says, and he will forgive the wickedness and remember our sins no more. An all-knowing God who forgets. Giving us a second chance, even though we didn't earn it. When we understand Jesus' love, we start to live lighter, knowing that no matter what we do in our life, we can go again. We can expect to have a second chance, knowing that those people in our lives, friends, family, who no longer walk with Jesus, we know that Jesus loves them still, because we know that Jesus is a loving God. He has authority, he can perform miracles, and he loves each and every one of us. Church, it is time to understand Jesus so we can expect again. And I don't know about you, but it starts to stir something in me talking about Jesus. And I wonder if we could just shift something right now, just for 30 seconds. If you have an understanding of Jesus, I wonder right now if you can just jump to your feet and just give him praise just for 30 seconds. If you've got an understanding that Jesus works miracles, an understanding of his love and his grace, an understanding that once we were dead in our sin, but now I'm alive again. Come on, if you've got an understanding of Jesus, why don't you just lift him up right now? Start to expect again right now. Start to let faith arise right now. Lift him up. Church, it is time to expect again. Turn to the person next to you and say, expect again. Like in the verse that Isaiah was talking about, it says that he is limitless in what he brings. So we can truly expect anything. But I think there's two things in particular that I want to encourage you to expect this Christmas. The first thing is this, is expect to hear. Expect to hear. Turn to the person next to you and say, listen up. I think we've all had moments, haven't we? Where maybe you've heard something you've expected or equally heard something you didn't expect. I remember when I was new in my flying travels, when I was a new flyer. I was a new flyer, thank you, Julie. And I was still a bit nervous about everything, if I'm honest. And I was going on this mission trip to Kosovo. I was going over to the Balkans, and I was sat in the seat. I had the window seat, which turned out to not be great, which I'll elaborate on in a minute. And I'm sat next to a girl on my course called Ruby. And I'm like, right, Ruby used to live in Australia. She's traveled the world, she was telling me. She's been flying for 17 years. So I'm like, if I ever get worried, if I get concerned, Ruby. I'll speak to Ruby and she will speak words of encouragement. Oh, she'll speak faith. So anyway, I'm looking out the window and the plane wing is doing like the Mexican wave. It's like wobbling all over. And I'm like, right, I can't, at the first port of call, like I can't ask Ruby yet. So I'm just head down praying. Like, get a little peek, shut the window. And then this noise starts to like almost explode from just outside the window. I've honestly never heard anything like it. But that's because I'm a new flyer. So I'm thinking, normal. But it's loud. So I go, Ruby, have you ever heard anything like that? Is that normal? She goes, Dan, in all my years of flying, I have never heard anything like it. And I'm like trying to, you know, like a four-year-old tries to whistle, and they're like, thanks, Ruby. I'm panicking. Anyway, a few minutes go by, I start to recover myself. And then I get a tap on the shoulder from Ruby. I'm going, now this is what I was expecting to hear. Dan, don't worry. It's going to be fine. Dan, you're strong and courageous. And she taps me on the shoulder and she says, just as I've calmed down, she says, Dan, all the engineers have rushed into the cockpit. The technicians look concerned. Again, Dan, in my 17 years of flying, I've never seen anything like it. Oh my goodness, I was almost sick. So anyway, long story short, I cry the whole plane ride. And we get to Kosovo, and as you can see, I'm here, I'm alive. But come on, Ruby, that is not what I wanted to hear. I expected encouragement. I expected you can do this. Often we expect to hear things, don't we? And I think as we read here, we hear that Jesus is often teaching. And in our lives, it can be easy to get disappointed if maybe we don't hear his voice. But I want to encourage you that Jesus does want to speak to you. Jesus, I say this to young people a lot, is God is a chatty God. He speaks. Matthew 5 says this. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and the disciples came and he began to teach them. The reason the crowds heard from Jesus is because the crowds were with Jesus. The crowds expected to hear, so they did something and they went to Jesus. I want to encourage you this Christmas, take time to go to Jesus because he wants to speak to you. He does. You can see it through his character. Jesus talks. I want to encourage you, maybe while you're just wrapping presents this year, just take time to go, right, Jesus, I'm just going to listen to you. Because the conversation is two ways, and that's what prayer is. So often we just talk at God. But take a minute just to listen. And I believe over Christmas, he will speak to you. While you're walking the dog, maybe put a hold on the Michael Bublé. I know he's great. But commit that time just to say, Jesus, I want to listen to you. Because what that shows him is that you expect to hear. So I wonder, what is one thing you can do this Christmas to posture yourself to hear from God? Turn to the person next to you and say, listen up. Second thing is this, is that when we understand Jesus, we should expect to see. If we really understand Jesus, what he did on the cross, we should expect to see him at work in our lives. We should expect to see the blind eyes see. We should expect to see healing. We should expect to see all these things. Because it wasn't just for him, but it was also for me and for you. John 14, 12 says, very truly I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Wow. And they will do even greater things than I, because I'm going to the Father. When Jesus died, he sent his Spirit. And because his Spirit is at work in us, through Jesus' power, we can see miracles today. I believe that. I believe that because Jesus holds all authority over heaven and in earth, over life and in death, that we can see miracles. I believe that when you go to work, the things you prayed for, I believe you can see them. I believe over that person you're praying for, I believe you can see a miracle, because I know that Jesus is a miracle working God. That is who he is. And when we get that, we expect again. We expect to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I don't know about you, I want to see it. Can you imagine if we come to church like excited, ready, like God's going to move, I'm going to see it. Come in with that faith. What I want to say on that is this, is don't let your experience affect your expectation. Let your understanding affect your expectation. I remember when I was 16, just finished GCSE summer, and I went to a church that was like a home from home church. I've been there probably like every year, most of my life. And I remember being in the service and seeing this woman who, for as long as I knew, had been paralyzed. And I saw her and I was started to get a nudge in my heart of Jesus saying, go and pray for her. And I was nervous, I was unsure, but the more I was like debating it, the more I got a sense of, oh, I've heard Jesus heals. And I went over expecting to see a miracle. I went over, I prayed, and nothing that I could see happened. Nothing happened. Don't get me wrong, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed. I didn't feel a bit sad. Of course I did. Deuteronomy 36, he will never leave you nor forsake you. You can be disappointed, but he will not let you down. Romans 8 says he works all things together for the good who loves them. Let your understanding affect your expectation. I remember last year, someone sat right in that back corner there and they put their hand up asking for prayer. And I think in that moment, if I let my experience If I let that experience in, I would have stayed in my seat. But you know, church, I got an understanding of who Jesus is. And I walked over and we prayed together. We asked Jesus to heal them. And their shoulder that hadn't moved in a number of years started to rotate as they had full freedom in their arm. Because church, when you understand who Jesus is, it doesn't matter your experience, maybe your highs and your lows, but when you understand the power of Jesus, you start to expect to see miracles.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.